Good morning, everyone. It is, as Josh has already told us, a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. When he said that, I remember and thought of many around the world who gather in fear and in hiding because of the lack of the freedom to do that, to do so. And we have the freedom to be here. And I'm glad you decided to exercise your freedom of being here. Do pray for Stan and Nancy as they are out of town or taking some time off, much needed time for rest. And I'm thankful to him and thankful to you for allowing me to be here as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord today, as we open the scriptures today. And what we're looking for today is God, because every time we gather, every Lord's Day that we gather, and every Wednesday evening that we gather together as the church, we are committed to the ongoing study of the Word of God. We have very little interest in human opinions, or we have very little interest in what even our own ideas are, but we open the Word of God each time we gather together, and we submit ourselves to the authority of the Word of God. And the Word of God is to be understood to be a gift from God himself. And what the Word of God says of itself is that it's God-breathed. That is, these are the very words of God. Although he used many different authors all throughout Scripture to pen this and to provide this with the different personalities that each person brought to the writing, it is still the Word of God in its entirety and all from God, and to be understood to be that way. One of those men that God used greatly in penning the Word of God and writing is Matthew. And we will be in the book of Matthew chapter 25 today, if you want to open your Bibles there. Matthew recorded by inspiration of God what we call the Gospel of Matthew. And the whole gospel presents the life, ministry, and the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 25, we pick up the teaching and the ministry of Christ toward the end of his earthly ministry, of his in-person ministry of his first coming. He is teaching and preparing his disciples not only for the coming death on the cross and telling them that he is about to go to his death, but he's also teaching them about the second coming, about the time when the Son of God will return, and this time return to judge the whole world. And he's teaching them now that in this chapter 25, he's using parables in the first portion of this, and the first two are the only two, really, that are parables that have the same theme throughout the entire chapter 25. These parables or stories that are there to help understand are the story of the 10 virgins, or the parable of the 10 virgins, and then the parable of the talents, both speaking to the second coming of Christ. We come to our text for the day, beginning in verse 31. He begins to sum all of that up that he's been teaching in these parables. And that's where we'll pick up our reading today. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. There was some discussion about earlier, actually in Sunday school class, there's been discussion about which version of the Bible is proper to be preached from. And as long as it's a good version, it's a good version. I would just be interested, just because, before we start, how many of you have a King James Bible with you this morning? Raise your hand. Quite a few. How many of you have another version so I can see that? And I'm assuming if you didn't raise your hand, you don't have one, but you better have one. So, that being said, we will be reading this from the King James Version. The New American Standard, I may bounce over to that because sometimes the these and thous, when we're explaining stuff, sometimes you spend more time explaining what the meant than you do explaining what the Scripture says. So, we'll do our main reading from the King James Version. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. The caption in my preaching Bible says the separation of the sheep and the goats, which is very appropriate for what this sermon is about. Verse 31, the Word of God says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you are ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, these are the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and athirst, or stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he, God, answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do this to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me." And verse 46 concludes the chapter, saying, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, who are the sheep, into eternal life." Very serious scripture this morning as we discuss the second coming of Christ, as we consider this morning a sermon that I've put a title on called "Be Prepared." Borrowed that from the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. If you would join me in prayer as we commit our hearts to the study of God's Word. Father God, we praise You this morning. We exalt Your name. What a wonderful and awesome privilege it is to be in Your house. And what a even more blessing and privilege it is to know You. And Lord, we lift our hearts to You as the church this morning, praying as we prayed before to open our hearts to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, direct our minds and our hearts and all that we are, that we think only of You and what You would have for us. Lord, help us not only to hear, but to apply and be submitted to the authority of Your Word, not listening to the opinions of man or even our own thoughts or ideas, but submitted completely to what You say through Your Word, that He might change us, to make us more like You, to make Your light shine brighter through us to a very dark world, that others might see and be drawn to the light. Lord, be with us now. May everything that's said, everything that's done, and everything that's thought, and everything that's in us, may it all glorify You. And we pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. One of the first things you learn as a preacher, one of the first things that older preachers will tell you when you begin to preach, is that you need to remember this thing, if you remember anything, that every time you preach, each time you step into a pulpit, each time you begin to present the Word of God, and you look out over the crowd, you are basically preaching to two different people. You're preaching to two different groups of people. The first group being those that are redeemed, the saved people, that we would say. The other group being the lost people, those that are not redeemed, those that are condemned. And that's the two groups. We can break each of those groups up into subgroups. Like, for example, we could say that you have those that are struggling, but they are saved, for sure, but they're still struggling a little bit with something. Then you have those who are lost, but they think they're saved. And you begin to divide that up into all different types of groups and minister to those different groups. But this morning, we're going to talk to the two simple groups of people that are gathered together in this place. And if people live stream this, there's two different types of people that will live stream this or watch this later on sermon audio or wherever it is we put all this stuff. Two types of people. We're going to be talking to the saved and the lost. The Bible has different names for these people. There's different names used for both of these groups. For the saved, the Word of God calls them the redeemed or the regenerate. The saved, the God's chosen people, the elect even. It also ends with the children of God. Many other names are given. For the lost, there's many names also given to those that are lost. We see the word condemned used and perishing, the wicked, children of wrath, and children of the devil. In our text this morning, we see another set of names given to these two same groups. In verse 32, or verse 33 actually, we read this. He put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. The sheep here is a reference to the born-again believers, the redeemed people, the Christians, we would say. The goats, on the other hand, are representing the lost people, those that are condemned, those that are without repentance, without Christ, and unless they do repent, unless they do come to Christ, they are lost forever and bound for hell. We know this because of what happens in the rest of this chapter beyond verse 33 in our study that we call Be Prepared. And you might add to it, be prepared for what is coming. The context of what we see presented in this text, the overall context, is the return of Christ as he's teaching about his second coming through those two parables and now through this summary narrative that we end the chapter with. The first time that Christ came, he came as a little child in the manger. We just had Christmas and celebrated that a few weeks ago. The second time Christ comes, he will come as righteous judge. First time he came as Savior. The next time he comes, he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the picture we see here in our text. Excuse me. This is Christ's return. And upon his return, he separates all people, all the nations, which means all people are gathered into two groups, and he separates them, the sheep and the goats. If you look at our text in verse 31, the Son of Man, Jesus, returning in all his glory, seated on his glorious throne as judge in verse 31. Verse 32, all the nations, which means all of the people, gather before Jesus. And what does he do? It says he separates them as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Verse 33 goes on to say that he will put the sheep on his right hand and he'll put the goats on his left. And the reason for this separation is the first point that we'll be looking at in our study of this section of Scripture this morning. And this is a point that we all need to take very seriously. No matter which group you are, this needs to be taken very seriously. And the first point is that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. All throughout Scripture we see judgment is coming. And this whole chapter is Jesus teaching those around him to be prepared because judgment is coming. It's not a topic we like to hear. It's one that's avoided both in our own minds and unfortunately avoided in a lot of pulpits. When this topic is addressed or brought up, many call this hellfire preaching and say they don't want any part of it. Well, the Word of God teaches us that the primary message of Christ was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you want to go to read what he taught. Look at Matthew 4:14, where it proclaims the beginning of his ministry. And it says, from that point on, he taught what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is a biblical way of saying, be prepared because judgment is coming. And if it's a message of Christ, and if it was good enough for Christ, it's good enough for us this morning. Amen? The reason we don't want to hear about judgment is that every time we hear judgment and we hear about it and we read about it in the Scripture, it forces us to look deep into ourselves. And when judgment is presented to us, and we consider the very depths of who we are, and we're challenged in such a way to see if indeed we need to be concerned about this coming judgment. The reason that so many of us get upset is that the topic of judgment, when we're forced to look inside of ourselves, we don't like what we see. And we're afraid. And we should be. When judgment comes, if you look at our text, and as Christ tells us here in Matthew 25, the judgment is coming, and when it comes, it cannot be avoided. All the nations, all the people, he says, are gathered together. All without escape. We're told of the same judgment in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Where the Word of God says that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it goes on to say, so that each one may be recompensed for his own deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. That's talking about all of us. The word here is all inclusive, meaning without exception. Or without escape, if you would. This is not a sermon to scare people. This is not a sermon just designed to convict people. This is a message from the truth of the Word of God. And the truth is, judgment is coming. And all of us, whoever we are, need to be prepared. Did you know judgment is spoken of more than 400 times? The actual word is used in Scripture. Hundreds of other times, the whole concept of this judgment is brought up in Scripture hundreds of more times, but it doesn't use the actual word judgment itself. It'll use like what it says in Romans 2, verse 16. When it speaks of judgment, it says, it is the day when God will judge men's secrets through Christ Jesus, as proclaimed by my gospel. Although the word judgment is not used there, you can clearly see that God will judge sin and sinner, even secret sin, it says. And over again in the Word of God, it pleads for us, for all people, to stop and consider, even be prepared, because judgment is coming. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for man to die once. After this comes the judgment. Be prepared is implied there. It doesn't say, so be prepared. But the ominous sound that comes out of that is like, you're going to die and there's going to be judgment. There's an implied be prepared right at the end of that. Do you hear it in your mind? Who wants to come to judgment not being prepared, right? The consequences are eternal. Acts 10:42 says this, Christ is appointed by God, the Father, to judge both the living and the dead. Again, the word judgment is not used, but we have the concept of it. And again, it stirs our hearts to those three words, be prepared, or two words, be prepared. Over and over and over again. The judgment that's coming will be a righteous judgment. Not based on man's righteousness, not on what we think is right. God doesn't consult with us to find out what's right and how he will judge. He judges in his own righteousness. His perfect righteousness. Psalm 9 verse 8 says it this way about the judgment. It says that he, Christ, shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The implied there is his righteousness and his uprightness and not ours. Acts 17:31 says he has set a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness through a man who is appointed and who he has furnished proof to all people by raising him from the dead. That's Christ. One day he will judge. Scripture is full of this whole judgment thing. And I was challenged by John MacArthur himself to say, when the preachers asked him, what do we go back and preach? We're at a preacher's conference. What do we go back and preach to our church in these days? He said one word. Judgment. Time is short. Preach judgment. Jesus is called the righteous judge because one day he will set things right with his righteousness. And before all you saved people check out of me and say, I'm going to heaven and there's no more condemnation for me, I do not have to worry about this judgment. You're correct. A saved person, you are assured of your eternal life in heaven. There's no more condemnation for you and me and for any that are saved. We don't have to worry about being condemned to hell. But Scripture teaches that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Where a lost person is condemned for his sin and the saved person has to give an account. Romans 14:12 says it this way, that each of us will give an account to God for everything we've done, whether good or bad. Everyone. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Repeated. Yes, if we're saved, we don't have to worry about condemnation, but we should be concerned because we all have to give an account to God for what we've done. And a lot of us are very comfortable with our ticket punched to heaven, thinking, I'm getting in, I don't have to worry about the rest of it. Why did he leave us the Bible? Why did he leave us here? Why didn't he just take us on? He bought us. He owns us. He bought us with a price. He paid the price with his blood. He owns us. Therefore, we'll give an account. And it's a serious thing to consider. Amen? And we look forward to the fact that all day one day sin will be judged. All of it. And all the penalty will be paid for all sin. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all those who are redeemed, all the saved people, all the sheep, if you would, and all the goats, all those that are not saved, those who have rejected Christ will receive the penalty for the sins on themselves. And it will take all of eternity for that punishment to be fulfilled. That's how intense the punishment is for sin. It reminds us of how much Christ paid for us. There's coming a judgment. And we should stop, really, and ask ourselves at this point, really, maybe before, you're already stopping and asking yourself, am I prepared? On the outside, all of us at church put on our Sunday best and we show up and say, yes, I am. I did that for many years myself, and I've heard testimony from some of you that have sat in a pew and made the comment yourself as a lost church member, really believing maybe somewhere, trying to convince yourself that you were saved as I did. Ask yourself truly, are you prepared? And look back at our text in Matthew 25 as we see this coming judgment. It ends well for the sheep, but it doesn't end so well for the goats. This judgment is a blessing for the sheep, because they have a good ending. Not so much for the goats. It is condemnation for the goats. Because the sheep inherit the kingdom, which is the place that Christ prepared since before time, it says. Since before the world was created. This is the place he went to prepare a place and said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. This is that place. It's the place prepared for the sheep. The second point we want to look at is the place prepared for the sheep. And if you're a child of God, you're in this group. And we rejoice at the thought of the coming, of entering into that kingdom. And all the promises that come with it. Look at our text itself. Our text says, then the king will say, he's seated on his throne. And he's got them separated. And he says to those on his right, which are the sheep, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The sheep inherit a place of blessing. This is what we said before from John 14:3. He goes to prepare, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. It's a place of promise, the place that he promised. And it's what we hold to, it's our hope as believers. And if we look closer at Scripture, we find out that not only is it promised, it's permanent. John 10:28 says this about us. It says, I give to them eternal life. These are the sheep. I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Because the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he says, I and the Father are one. It's eternal, it's permanent. Promised, permanent, and eternal. And there's no more death, no more suffering. If you're saved and you're waiting for the second coming, you're promised this permanent place. And it's not going away. No one can take it away. You can't even do it yourself. It says no man can remove. Not even yourself can be removed. A truly saved person then is a permanently saved person. Two of you are happy about it. I say that in jest, but really in our hearts, we should stop and think about that and consider. That's why a message like this is important for us to understand. Judgment's coming. We'll give an account, but we're not judged. We're not condemned. We have this place prepared for us, a place of blessing prepared for us as believers, and we rejoice in that. It should cause us to walk a little taller, smile a little wider, and live a little better. The next part, that may have made you say amen, Doc. This next part's going to make somebody say, oh me. Because we move from the judgment coming and from the place prepared for the sheep to the place prepared for the goats. Look back at our text, verse 41. Verse 41 reads this way, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He goes on to say, for I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. He has that again in there, and he ends it with, these will go away into eternal punishment. In verse 46. Eternal punishment, a place prepared for the goats, eternal fire, eternal punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is where all those goats, all those who are lost will go. A serious thing. A very serious thing. All of us have been approached with that in our own hearts and minds through Scripture. If we're saved, we understand that's what we were saved from. And if you're here and you don't know for certain, this is what you could be facing and are facing if you're not redeemed. At the beginning, I mentioned that Christ is teaching through this whole chapter parables dealing with the judgment of God. It's important enough that he's teaching us at the end of his ministry. He's saying, look, this is something we need to get straight. You need to understand this. In verse 12, if you look back at that, of Matthew 25, you look back at verse 12. We find those who are like the ones that he talked about earlier, Matthew 7, who say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all of these things in your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Remember that saying back in that portion of Matthew? Now we are here in our chapter 25 and verse 11 through 12, when he's talking to about the virgins, he says, afterward came also the other virgins. These are the ones that didn't get into the wedding feast. And they came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But verse 12 says, but he answered, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And then if you look at verse 13, he says, watch therefore. The New American Standard says, be alert. One of the more English translations says, be prepared. For you not, know not whether the day comes or the hour when the Son of God cometh. That's in the parable. He moves on to the next parable. That's one parable. Right after that, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't give invitation. He doesn't do anything. He says, be alert, be prepared, watch. And then he teaches the next parable, the talents. And we won't go through and teach that again. But if you look at verse 30, just one verse before we started, at the end of that, the faithful servants have received reward and eternal life, it says. And the wicked, lazy servant here, look at verse 30, is condemned. He says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Of course there is. It is a place of eternal fire and eternal punishment, he says. If you were eternally burning and eternally punished, you would weep and gnash your teeth too. That's what's going on right now and what will be going on in eternity in this place that's prepared for the devil and his angels and where those people who are not redeemed will go. Jesus sums all of that teaching of those two parables up in our text for today. And here's the summary. There's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. Be prepared. There's a judgment coming. And there's a place for the sheep. And there's a place for the goats. And all people are separated into two groups of people. You're not almost saved. You're lost. You're either saved or you're not. You're either redeemed or condemned. There's no middle ground here. Someone had said, I think it was Ken Ham, says, the Church of the United States is a church of gray areas. Or a church of middle ground, he was saying. Everyone wants to be in the middle. No one wants to make a decision. No one wants to live for Christ or live for the devil. They want to be right in the middle. The Scripture divides people into two groups. No middle. Only redeemed and lost. So the statement that we began with, that I told you about, that's given to preachers when they begin to preach, and said, remember, you're preaching to two groups of people. Those who are saved and those that are lost and bound for this awful place. Those who are going to a place of blessing, prepared before the foundation of the world, and those who are going to a place of eternal fire and eternal punishment. A place of torment. And each of us in this room, each of us that will watch this, and if there was a way to bring all the nations before us as Christ will do, and every person who's ever lived and ever is alive, and all people, period, all people will spend their eternity in one place or the other. And it's not by accident that we've heard such a truth together this morning from the Word of God. It's not by chance. And you may be here wishing you didn't come because of what we're talking about. I can tell you much prayer went into what we're speaking of this morning. And much consideration. And I do believe that God wanted us to hear this. And that somebody needed to hear this morning. As a matter of fact, I think we all needed to hear this. Those who are sheep and saved from the wrath of God, we needed to hear this and be reminded just exactly what we're saved from. And give glory to God. Knowing that it was not of ourselves that we're saved, that He redeemed us. when we didn't deserve it. We also need to be reminded that all glory goes to God. And those are here that do not know which side they're on. Or maybe they know, and they know definitely you're a goat, and you're just afraid what others would think. You needed to hear this truth this morning as well. And you needed to hear it so that you might repent and place your belief and trust in Christ. That you might turn from who you are and turn to Christ, to who you should be, and be prepared for this coming judgment. The Word of God says, do not delay. Do not delay, because today is the day of salvation. The Scriptures plead with us to repent. They cry out to us to repent and be saved. So, we end with questions, always questions. Answers only in the heart that you have, not mine. You can't answer for me, and I can't answer for you. Do you know for certain that if these events, the second coming, that we don't know when it's going to be, and he says, be prepared, watch, if it happened today, would you be ready? Would you be prepared? Do you know which side you're on? Are you a sheep or a goat? Or have you placed your trust and your belief? Some people place their trust and their belief in the fact that they were born into a Christian family. Some put their trust in the fact they go to church. Some people place their trust in some type of prayer they repeated after somebody that made no change in their heart or their lives at all. Just like the virgins when they said, let us in, open to us. And Christ says, I don't know you. And referred to what he said in Matthew 7 when he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Verse 22 of Matthew 7 says, that many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not perform many wishes? Did I not do the work of the church? Did I not go to church and do all these things in your name? And he says, I will declare them, I never knew you. And then he says, depart. So the question is, have you repented of your sins and cried out to mercy for God so that you might be saved from this judgment that is coming? That you might be prepared for that judgment? Can you say honestly in your heart that you're no longer a goat and you are now a sheep? Can you say that? Can you leave here with peace in your heart, knowing that for certain? If you don't, you don't have to leave here. You can stop. We can talk. We can pray. We can cry out to God together on your behalf. And the question is not, do you know Christ? Because we see clearly from Scripture, does he know you? Does he know you? Here's what Jesus said about those that he knows. John chapter 10, verse 24. He'd been teaching, and they gathered around him, and we'll end here. And the Jews gathered around him that he was teaching to, and they were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? How long will you keep this from us? If you are the Messiah, if you are the Christ, just tell us plainly. Listen to his answer. He said, I told you. I've already told you, he said. Verse 25, and you do not believe. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name, these give testimony to what I do, to who I am. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. Because what? In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So leave here today with a question. Does he know you? Does he know you? Take a moment to pray And we often just pray, sing our song, get out of here and go eat. Too serious a time to just do that. I want to take a moment. I want each one of us to bow our head in prayer. A time of personal prayer, not just me praying for you or with you. But this is a time to answer that question for certain, because I've been reminded and challenged by so many people who are not in this church. Some of them may not even be in church at all. And so many people, even lost people, are saying, time has got to be short, guys. I don't know when it is. No man knows. But I do know what it does tell me. Be prepared. If it is today, be prepared. If it's tomorrow, be prepared. If it's next year, if it's 20 years from now, you still need to be prepared. Take a moment to pray. Lift your heart to God. Honestly. Searching yourself, as Scripture says, to see if you are truly in the faith, if you truly are born again, and that you can walk out these doors with peace in your heart of knowing for certain that if you stepped off the curb and Jesus took you home, that you'd walk into His presence and He'd say, enter in. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So take a moment, pray once you've had time to pray. Once I've had time to pray personally, then I'll pray for us, and then Matt and the ladies will come and we'll have a hymn of invitation, a hymn of reflection, and a time of continued prayer. So join me in a time of personal prayer. Father, there's a holy hush in your house today as we search our hearts as you've commanded in Scripture, looking deep within ourselves, challenged by judgment to do so. Lord, we lift our hearts for those who know they're redeemed, know they're saved, that they leave here rejoicing, that they might walk taller, and do better and live better because of what we've heard this morning and the confidence that we've gained from knowing that we are saved. It's permanent, promised for all eternity and from all eternity. I pray for those that hear that don't know, those that are troubled, those that are even angry, or even those that are apathetic toward this type of message. Break their hearts as you once did mine and once you did all who were saved. Break our hearts over our sin. Break our hearts over the impending judgment that is coming for all people. Break our hearts for the place in which we will spend eternity that we might see clearly. Lord, I pray that you give each one of us a clear picture of who we are before you and where we'll spend eternity. And Lord, I pray that you turn the hearts of those that are lost, that they could not leave this place until they fall on their face and cry out for mercy and are saved. Lord, we commit this time to you. You might receive all glory, for you alone are worthy of it all. As we do.